Earlier this week, I was forwarded a screenshot of a Facebook post, and this is what it said. It was a Tina Thompson posting for her family. Hello, everyone. I'm trying to get my nephew's son's story out and need some support. My nephew was in Howard R. Young facility. He was playing basketball a couple of months ago when he injured his left side. He sat in that prison for weeks complaining about abdominal pain, hip pain, and even discoloration of his urine. He complained to the officers and the nurse there. When she ordered an x-ray, I spoke with the nurse. She said nothing was broken, so he is fine and it will take a couple of days for him to heal. My nephew called me for days complaining that he was in pain and they weren't doing anything about it. I called up to the prison on last Thursday and spoke to the assistant warden. She told me she was the assistant warden. She said to me that she would get in contact with the nurse to take him out for an MRI. My nephew contacted me on Monday and said they wouldn't take him out to the hospital to be seen. I had never heard from my nephew again until the sergeant from the prison called me, which he never did. I had to call up the prison to find out that my nephew had passed away on this past Thursday morning. I'm in disbelief. I am hurt, and I'm mad. The prison failed my nephew. I need all of your help in this fight. I can't do it myself. Howard R. Young facility, located in Delaware, let him die after multiple calls, and him telling them he was in pain. They refused to take him to the hospital, knowing he needed medical attention. The nurse let him down right along with those correctional officers that wouldn't answer his call. Please, I'm asking you all to help me. This was so unexpected. I have to put up a GoFundMe on my page. Even if you can't donate, please share, share, share. Thank you so much. And so the reason we're here today is to do just that. Oh, baby, it's not possible. Comrades and friends, hello. This is the Highlands Bunker Podcast. I'm Rob. Today in the studio is that man's aunt, Christina Elliott, to talk more about what happened and what we're going to do about it. Christina, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that you're in this situation, but I definitely want to get as many facts as we can, and so that we can move forward and figure out what happened, because I have some ideas myself. Can you, before we get into the details of the last few months, can you just tell us about your nephew a little bit? You know, where did he grow up? What was he like? What kind of things did he like doing?
My nephew is originally from North Carolina. Grew up there some and then moved here to Delaware. He loved music. He was really in tune with music. He loved to be around friends, his family. Richard was a really great kid. He was a really great kid. Yeah, he liked to draw too. He did like to draw, but he really was into his music. He used to always say, Auntie, I'm going to be big one day. I'm going to be big one day. I'm going to make it real big one day. But Richard was a good kid. You know, this was so unexpected with him. I'm mad. I'm angry. We're not getting the answers that we need. Multiple calls up to the prison, and nothing was really never done. And the morning that Richard passed away, I was not even contacted. The major captain, I can't remember which one it was that I spoke to. I know his name was Majors. when I called up to the prison, that's who I asked to speak to. Rogers, that's who it was. Rogers, sorry, not Majors, Rogers. I spoke with a Rogers, and he didn't tell me nothing. He was just like, your nephew passed away. He gave me his condolences, but I had to contact the prison to find out about my nephew. He said that he called me. He never called me. I had no missed call from him. And in a situation like that, if you call me and I didn't pick up, I honestly believe that you should have left a voicemail message for me to return your call as soon as possible. But that wasn't done either. So I ended up calling the prison, and that's how I found out that my nephew passed away on December the 4th at 5:58 a.m. in the morning. But Richard was a good kid. I've had Richard since he was 16. He was really a great kid. I miss my nephew so much. I was sitting at home, you know. I talked to him last on December the 1st or the 2nd, one of those days. It was on a Monday. And he asked me, he said, "Aunt Tina, did you call up here and talk to someone? I'm in a lot of pain." I said, "I called up there on November the 30th. And I spoke with a lady who said she was the assistant warden. And she had asked me for his SBI number. I gave it to her. She then assured me that she was going to get in contact with the nurse and that they would take him out for an MRI. On December the 1st, I believe it was a Monday, at 6:40 p.m., that's when I had talked to Richard last. And the last thing he said to me before he hung up that phone was, "Aunt Tina, they gonna let me die in here." And that's the last I heard from my nephew.
The Department of Corrections has put out a notice. I'm not gonna read it because we only read propaganda in here when we make fun of it. So I'm not gonna, I don't care to read it. But it paints a picture that Richard was complaining of pain, you know, the 3rd of December, went out and then passed. But this all stems from an injury from playing basketball from, looks like, weeks or months ago. Do you remember around the time when the injury happened, when that was?
I think his injury may have been like 2 months ago when I first learned of it, when he said he had fell and injured his left hip from playing basketball, and then the hip went to abdominal pain. And that's when he started complaining really, really bad. He even got to the point where he said, "Aunt Tina, my urine has even changed colors." So I called. I even spoke with the nurse there. She told me she done an x-ray. She had an x-ray done. I told her he was still complaining of pain. She told me there was no broken bones. He would be okay in a couple of days. My nephew is no longer here because they failed him.
Have you spoken to anyone with the DOC since he passed?
I went there the next day and collected his belongings, which all of his belongings wasn't even given to me.
So you're missing things?
Yeah, I'm missing his cell phone. They gave me his AirPod, but not his cell phone. There was a couple of COs that was coming up asking me what happened. And I found that to be crazy because y'all know what happened. Y'all know exactly what happened. Y'all failed to take him out to get the proper medical care that he needed. So now we're without our loved one. It's right here at the holidays, and we have to go through not having our loved one here because the system failed him. The prison system failed him.
Have you been able to talk with your family about what next steps you might be taking? And, you know, I'm glad to hear, and, you know, others other than just our podcast are sort of answering the call to get this story the attention it deserves. And then the step after that is to demand, you know, a full accounting of what this is. And the step after that is to make sure that somebody is held responsible and there are consequences for this. I know it's very early on. You may have not even thought about what you'd like to do next, but has your family talked about that at all?
I can say I'm just waiting, and I'm confident that the prison system and the hospital, after doing, you know, their review, equation, and investigation, will bring forth the details as to what occurred there.
Yeah, my view on it, and I think when we talked on the phone, I mentioned it. We've worked with inmates that are still incarcerated. They've been on the call. Family members have been in here talking about a wide variety of issues, of the conditions, treatment, CO misconduct, all that stuff. And my view is that this needs to be an outside investigatory, an independent investigation needs to take place. Matt Meyer, the governor, needs to step up and not let. I don't trust. There's a wing of the Department of Justice of the AG's office in Delaware called Decrypt. It's civil rights and public trust. And they're the ones who investigate sort of internal potential crimes, police, that type of thing. I don't trust them either. I want an independent investigation about what happened to Richard. Because over the course of those months, his complaints, his phone calls to you, all of it should be incredibly indicative of somebody really, really failing in a major way, and somebody has to be held to account for this. And, you know, whatever we can do to make sure we get this story publicity, we're going to do it.
I appreciate it so much.
How's your family doing right now around the holidays? I mean, I'm sure it's a dark situation, but, you know, I hope people can kind of come together and find a direction to go and steps to take. To be honest with you, it's impossible for me to even try to put myself in this situation. Like, how would I feel? What would I do? I don't know.
It's very hard. Richard was like the life of the party. He was happy. He always made jokes. And that's a part of the holiday this year that we're going to miss. Like, he's always cracked jokes. He was, you know, a very joke person. He liked to crack jokes, and he loved his music, you know. It's sad for us. And my thing is, I'm not going to stop until I get justice for my nephew. And that's just how it's going to be. My nephew needs justice.
Yeah, I think one of the other important details in this is Richard was, what, 25?
24.
From what I understand, he was just a young man in good health and just, you know, no previous problems. Just took an injury and it wasn't taken seriously. You know, I'm just happy that we're able to get this information out, to give you a platform to start this process. I know it's going to probably be a long process. I know it's, you know, there's going to be legal things happening.
It may be a long process, but at the end of the day, I'm fighting. I'm going to fight. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to fight for my nephew. He deserves that.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say about it at this point? I know it's very recent. Still raw. It's awful. So it's probably hard to think through it. But if there's anything else that you'd like to add for now, feel free. Like I said, I'm. This is something that I feel like I'm going to add to the list of issues that I'm really going to hammer the governor on. I can tell you that even as far back as the uprising at the Smyrna prison years ago, I've taken the position that this state and by inference, all of us are responsible for how we treat incarcerated people. And from what I can tell, we treat them less than human.
It's so unfair.
It's criminal. It's amoral. It is unfair, and it's deranged. I interviewed the AG many years ago, and I said that these prisons are gulags. They're torture chambers, and it's on all of us to raise our voices and say enough of this. Enough. We know the conditions are poor. We know there's mold. We know there's flooding. I happen to know right now at Vaughan in Smyrna, they're having problems in certain wings with the heat as it gets very cold now in the winter. You know, I don't think it's a surprise that when John Carney became mayor, he named to the homelessness task force as the chair, Claire DeMatteis, who was also the commissioner of the prisons, because it's another example of treating certain people as less than human beings. And it's fucking unacceptable.
Yes. Very unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. And so, you know, people, regular listeners of this show will know that this is one of my ballywicks. I hammer on this all the time. I think our second ever episode was Lex talking about the uprising in Smyrna. I've been in touch with the folks in the Dream Initiative, both still incarcerated and out. I've been in touch with Jennifer Chatton. People are going to join this fight and figure out what the hell is going on in there, because it's absolutely unacceptable and it's sick. And we're not going to stand for it.
One thing that I can say that was known, I made known to the prison, and they knew Richard did have sickle cell trait, and they knew that, and they still fail him. So for him to sit in there and have to go through all that pain and them never taking him out, me as his aunt, I feel some type of way, because I contacted them and told them everything. They knew everything and they still didn't do anything about it. An x-ray doesn't always show what it needs to show. And for him to just lay there in pain and keep putting in sick call after sick call. And for the nurse to say he didn't have a broke bone in his body and he'll be fine in a couple of days. You let him down. The COs let him down. And again, I'm going to seek justice for my nephew.
I consider this murder by neglect. And frankly, it's even worse because the folks at the prison have a responsibility that they failed. And somebody needs to be put on the hook for it. And that's that.
I agree.
Christina, thank you for coming in and giving us some information. I hope that we can stay in contact if as things progress. If you need help getting the word out, if you need help with contacts, both within the government or legal contacts, I'll help as much as I can. I'm only little, you know, obviously I'm not exactly, the New York Times in here. But I want to be able to do whatever we can, whatever contacts we have or support we can offer. I definitely want to make sure that you know that our door is open, and not just for recording stuff to put on the internet, but anytime if you have a question, you know, like I said, I don't know a lot of the answers, but I'm lucky enough to know a lot of people that have the answers. So I know very little, but I know a lot of people. I'd be happy to do that. And I know that, you know, it's early days. It's going to be difficult. But there will be people behind you and people that want to get to the bottom of this and make real change. Find out what happened to Richard. Hold people responsible and accountable for what they did and didn't do. But also, in some way, change the whole outlook of how we deal with this stuff. We're so lax and uncaring. And it's like, again, I really, truly, no exaggeration, feel that it comes from an idea that there are certain people that don't count as much as other people. And I cannot stand for it. And I won't.
I would just like to say that I have posted a GoFundMe page. Even if you cannot donate, please just share his story. Our family doesn't take anything for granted that you all have done and continue to do.
Yeah, we will definitely post that and post this information and follow up. And please, you know, let me know how it progresses. So investigations, legal things, because we want to, you know, we want to be behind you on that. For
thank
sure.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Well, thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it. And stay strong. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No, you're right. It's rampant across the country.
Yeah, when we like give Elon Musk $55 billion, that's more of a Delaware thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pure Delaware. Treating homeless people and prison inmates as subhuman, that's pretty much a
yeah, that comment. Goes back a little ways. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope people will consider just throwing a few bucks to the GoFundMe. I know I talked offline and the funeral expenses obviously are going to be what they are for the family. So if you could help out with that, Carl will put a link in the show notes. Even if you could just throw him $5-$10 just to help defer some of those expenses, it would be greatly appreciated. Also, I meant it when I said it. This fucking Matt Meyer better get his fucking ass in gear, because now we have a 24-year-old man dying after after, you know, laying in his cell in pain for 2 months, not being given the proper care and attention. And then, you know, I read it, but I'm not going to read it on here, but you can go and read the dreck that the DOC put out. And then at the bottom of an announcement that the DOC puts out, they say, oh, and also, if you're the victim of a crime, you can call victim services at such and such a number and talk to such and such a thing. I'm saying that he's the victim of the crime. You know, I thought that was the weirdest fucking thing I ever saw. If you're a victim, they're announcing that they let somebody die in their custody. And then they say, if you're a victim, call victim services. He's the victim. Yeah, it's fucking nuts, man. Well, I did want to briefly talk about what we're doing through the holiday. Next week, we're going to talk to Miriam Dede, who is the executive director of Tide Shift Justice Project. Miriam was formerly a public defender. I worked very closely with Tide Shift in the, you ready for this? The advocacy ecosystem. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there you
it's go. An ecosystem. But also Miriam has a pretty interesting background that we want to explore. And also she worked as a younger person at a carnival doing caricatures. And so I think there's going to be potentially a caricature of Bill, Carl, and I with microphones and headphones and stuff for the thing. So we're going to talk about that too. So that might be something that comes out in the new year as a new little piece of art for the podcast. That'll be fun. We're taking the Christmas week off because that's what we're doing. You know, I think we've recorded like 4 or 5 bonus episodes in the last 2 months, something like that. So that's good enough. If you really want to hear us, pay the money and listen to the bonus episodes over Christmas. The two big things coming up after that are going to be, number one, we're going to get out ahead of this corporate bill stuff because you know they're going to come up with something funky, and we're always on that pretty tight, and we already kind of know, we have a feeling what they could do. Now, I will say this, our corporate law experts always have some idea of what's coming down the track. But it's always great that the defense bar and the legislature can always throw some curveballs in there too and make it even stupider than we thought. So that's a possibility. So we'll be talking about that with historian of American capitalism, Dale Norwood, and Chancery Daly at some point. We are also going to be talking with Christopher Beardsley, the man who will be going head-to-head with Christopher Coons for the U.S. Senate, the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate. If you have any questions for Christopher Beardsley, hit us up on highlandsbunker@gmail.com. I actually have tons of questions for him, just like philosophical ones, because now that we've been through this cycle, I kind of have a better feel for like what to ask, or like what might be red flags, what might be something good. Like you probably, I mean, obviously you do too.
Where'd you go to middle school? Where'd you go to high school? What neighborhood did you grow up in?
All that stuff.
Why are you trying to hide this from us?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was a thing, actually, until Bill pointed it out, that apparently online there's been a small kerfuffle about the fact that he's not clear about where he went to high school.
On his website,
I guess. You know, I obviously, for obvious reasons, I don't have Pierre Dupont out. I don't have the bell out today because it was not appropriate. But yeah, I mean, we would be ringing the bell right now if that was that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually a little bit, as I try to think about how I'm going to approach this interview, I'm sort of at a loss for like what Chris Koons actually is bringing to the table, other than that's the guy, we know that guy. He's like on TV. Like, what does he, like, everybody's mad about Trump. You know, you got your, and I'm putting on my lib hat because we're both liberal and conservative. So this is, if I put on my lib hat, I see these libs, they're going to the Avello and they're protesting Avello. That's great. ICE and all that. They're going to the No Kings and they don't like kings and all that. But like, it's not like Chris Koons is some sort of like big defender of democracy or like Trump adversary. He's neoliberalism. The neoliberalism of Chris Koons got us here. And it's very difficult to think, but all of those liberals who are going to the No Kings are going to vote for Chris Koons, I assume. And it doesn't make any sense. And I don't know how to square that in my mind. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're out one day because everything's falling apart and you show up at the No Kings rally somewhere. And then, you know, several months from now, you're going to vote for Chris Koons. Doesn't make any sense. Not that people's politics make sense, but we've always talked about the fact that the motivation to get yourself off the couch as a normie and actually show up for a rally or show up with a sign or show up at a meeting or whatever is actually a big step. That's like probably the biggest step, is to get motivated to actually do anything. So they're motivated to do that, but they don't really have, they're not connecting. It's disconnected from anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, though maybe we'll be surprised.
Possibly. Yeah, because it is connected. You know, you think Chris Koons, what do you think his position is on overthrowing the Venezuelan government? I can guess what it is because I know what his position was a year ago about doing it. Yeah, he's a freak. You know, when I don't know when it was Boric or Arce or the Colombian guy, one of the sort of the pink tide-ish social democrats that won. You know, he was on the side of the Organization of American States to be like, oh no, this is not right. We gotta coup this person. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a dipshit. He's a freak. And so, like, if you're mad that we're pretending like we're going to invade Venezuela and doing war crimes in the Caribbean, ask Chris Koons what he thinks about it. I mean, he says he's very concerned. Is he? I don't think so. So that should be a fun conversation. Carl, what do you have planned for Christmas? What are you doing?
Not much.
You just get your ramping up?
Yeah.
Next year, between, you know, everybody's like, you know, I can't believe another legislative session is starting soon. I can believe it.
Yeah. They keep coming back every time.
Every time. I'm more interested in the primaries in September. I'm interested to see a lot of people get beat.
Hopefully.
I think it'll happen.
I think it's quite possible.
Well, folks, that's it for this week. Next week, we have Miriam coming in. I want everybody to have a happy holiday. I want everybody to enjoy themselves. All that. Come January, when this session's in, we have all of our faves in the same place, and we can go get them. We got to go get them. You know, make them uncomfortable. I know you don't, you know, they don't like it, but this is just what's going to have to happen. And I don't know. I'm a little bit shook up from having a conversation with Christina now. Yeah, left is best.